What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Somebody's Mama Podcast. We're your hosts, Nicole and
Kendra,
and we're so excited to be back today. First and foremost, thank you to all the new listeners. There's been a lot of newbies, so welcome. Don't forget to have you guys. Yes, and don't forget to hit us with a little review. 5 stars over here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we just got to go ahead and get into it because this is the Father's Day episode, and we got a lot to say, okay?
Yes.
But first and foremost, Kendra, are you feeling better? Last time we saw you, you was like trying to hold it together.
Yeah, I was going through it. Okay, so I still got a baby little cough. So if I cough while I'm talking, y'all just forgive me. But I did go back to the doctor this week, actually yesterday.
Oh, good.
So, you know, I went to the urgent care and all that. So they were like, make sure you follow up with your primary care physician. So I met with her yesterday and she was like, okay, so you still look like you have like a little bit of something going on. So she gave me some medicine. So I'm taking it. I just started taking it this morning because yesterday she gave me like the cough syrup. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And so she was like, start taking it tomorrow. She said I could start taking the cough syrup yesterday because it makes you sleepy. And then she gave me a different pill to just help with like the inflammation in my throat, which is my lungs. I don't know. Which is making me cough. Something's making me cough. I don't know. I was kind of listening, but not really.
Oh my goodness. Well,
I was like, please
keep taking it.
Oh yeah, I took the pill she gave me. I took it this morning, but she said my ears look good. My throat still looks like a little red, but nothing, no infection or anything like that. But she was saying that the top of my lungs are getting enough oxygen, but not the bottom, so it's making me cough. So she was like, "This take this pill for 7 days, and you should feel fine." Excuse me. So. Yeah, I was just happy to get something. So I'm like, okay, cool. I probably need to take some more right now. That's probably why I'm coughing. Anyway, so that went well.
At least you know you're going to sleep well tonight.
Oh my God, I slept too good last night. I woke up this morning like, what day is it? What time is it? What I got to do?
You like, I didn't overslept. Where is everybody?
I literally thought I overslept, but I did not. But yeah, that thing, when I say that thing had me knocked out, I can't wait to take it tonight. But, yes, I'm doing fine. All that to say, I'm doing fine. So this weekend, we actually did the grad photos for Kendon. If you guys were listening last week, I told you guys that his school is trifling, didn't do no graduation for him. So his parents came through, okay? And so we did like a little photo shoot for him by the water. It was really cool. I need to make the reel for that, by the way. And then we also did like a little shopping day. Even though it's acting like the weather is acting like fall right now.
Right.
I was like, I need some summer clothes. So I went to H&M and picked up some things. Zara picked up some things. And then we had like a little family dinner, which was cute. And that night, y'all, you know, guys, I freshened up my hair. But my best friend, you know, she does my braids and she came into town. She's like working out here in LA right now. And so she was like, listen, I want to get you out the way. I want the rest of my weekend or whatever. So she came to my house at, I think she got there at 12:30 a.m.
Oh.
And she had to do my other friend's hair as well. Like just a touch up in the front. But you know, when the girls get together, we kicking, we talking. Yeah. You know, and guess what time I finished my hair?
Oh no.
6:30 a.m. So yeah. So that was fun.
So you didn't sleep.
No, because we was up talking, gallivanting, you know, it was all fun and games until we got sleepy. Around 4 a.m., we was like, okay, when she started my hair, she started getting sleepy because she had this burst of energy. And then when she started on me at like 4 a.m. And she started getting sleepy. When I say she was literally braiding and going like this, But that's how you know she good, because it looked good, okay? But
it looked good.
She was half asleep doing it, so that was funny. And then we was like, we're going to take a little hour nap because she had to go to her nail appointment. And so thank God for my husband. We're going to talk about this today, but Shout out to my husband. He was like, I'll take her like to the nail shop or whatever. So he took her to the nail shop and he went and got all the things to make breakfast because my husband is the king of breakfast. I've never had better French toast in my life, literally. Mm-hmm. And so he bought all the groceries and she loves his breakfast too. So he made us breakfast and like literally did everything. So, because I went to bed. I was like, I ain't gonna make it.
I gotta sleep. At least
I have to sleep. I need a couple hours. And then I woke up in time for church and church was amazing. Like, well, I watched it online, but it was so amazing. So good. So I had a pretty cool weekend. Like, not nothing crazy. Like, that was crazy to stay up till 6:30 in the morning, but you know.
Yeah, that was crazy. You guys survived.
I survived and my hair got done. I was like, I don't care. I don't care how long I have to stay up. As long as my hair get done, I don't care. Because when I was like, I had just freshly got my hair done and then I got sick. So my hair stayed in a bonnet.
Oh, wow.
And then by the time I took the bonnet off, my braids was raggedy.
Oh my goodness, I'd be mad. And the funny thing about all this, you guys, too, is that Kendra's best friend is pregnant. So,
yes.
No, she was ready to knock out.
Yes. That's why we were like, are you sure you want to do this? She was like, I'm fine. I feel good. I'm like, girl, you are crazy. But she, I don't know where she was like, I don't know where that burst of energy came from. Like, she literally was not tired until 4 a.m. it hit her. And she was like, okay, yeah, I think I need to go to bed. But she was cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my weekend was supposed to be, my weekend just was all over the place, I'll be honest with you. I went from, had self-care day Saturday kind of planned,
mm-hmm,
to, oh shoot, I gotta work. So I ended up working Saturday,
mm-hmm,
and then Sunday I ended up oh my goodness. Sunday, I ended up making a whole bunch of YouTube content.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I be at. Okay.
You know what? I was just thinking that the other day, like, I literally would just do YouTube and like nothing else.
I know. Because it's so much more fun over there.
It is. It is. And I don't know why it feels like more fulfilling in some type of way. I don't know. I think I really enjoy the long form content. Like, yeah. you do a lot of shorts, too.
Yeah, but I do a lot of shorts because I really haven't found my groove with the long form yet.
Yeah.
I got some ideas. I'm going to try and record this Thursday an idea.
Yeah.
But I realized that, for me, YouTube is fun, and I kind of want to keep it fun. And so I'm kind of like, I'm going to do the shorts. I get to, like, be myself and make funny shorts.
Right.
I'm just going to only do long form content about stuff I care about.
Yeah. If you're not enjoying the content that you're making, you're not going to be consistent.
Yeah.
Like, I know if I did other type of videos, I probably would pop off more, but I haven't like decided like what I would be interested in doing a sit down video. Like, I love vlogging. Like, that's just, I've done vlogging before I was on YouTube.
Okay,
that's, so like, I don't know, I just enjoy doing it, whether it makes me money or not. Like, I enjoy doing it. Now when the videos pop off, I get excited.
Yeah.
But I would do it anyway, you know.
Yeah, it's also, it's fun, and like when the videos pop off, it's fun and the trolls are fun. And also, you know what's kind of fun about it is like people get to, you get to, okay, like on Instagram, there's this whole preconceived notion of who you are and what you're about. And like on YouTube, you just kind of get to be yourself and like, just be yourself.
Have fun. Yeah. No, for
it's
sure.
All new audience.
And YouTube ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, it's not going nowhere.
TikTok is on the fence. Instagram changes their mind every day on what kind of content they want to push.
Yeah.
YouTube, they change their rules and things like that for getting monetized a lot.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's pretty consistent.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. So Thursday. So
I was both on YouTube.
Yeah, also on YouTube. So Thursday and Saturday or Sunday has become like my YouTube short content days where I just like post a whole bunch of shorts in one day.
Y'all have to follow her because when I tell you I had went to your TikTok and I was cracking up, I literally went through all her videos. Follow her on TikTok, y'all. I was literally cracking up.
See, I don't feel comfortable to put that stuff on Instagram. And when I do, it's so awkward. I'm like, this is so awkward.
No, it is so good. Like, hilarious.
Thank you. And of course, we all know Kendra brings the aesthetic all the time. So I'm like, how do you make coffee look that good? I could never. So please make sure to follow Kendra, okay?
Yeah, follow us, y'all. We trying to push out this content. It's fun to do, but it's kind of like, okay, well, y'all need to like subscribe and follow at the same time. Like, you know?
Yeah, make it more fun.
Right.
Also, over the weekend, I got my nails done.
Okay, yes.
Now listen.
We got a little length.
I got a little length, okay? I got a little French tip, but this is the thing, so I can't be too close, okay? Listen.
Oh, gosh.
Because I don't get my nails done all the time, mm-hmm. you know, it can be real hit and miss where I go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, towards the end of Sunday, I'm like, babe, I really wanted to get my nails this weekend. He's like, okay, just go. Yeah. And I'm like, all the nail shops are about to close in like an hour and a half, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a nail shop that I like to go to, but it was a little out the way. I have two that I actually like to go to. It was kind of out the way. So I had to go to one closest to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say towards the end of the appointment, she goes, yeah, so doing arches is really not my thing. Girl, we about done. We done.
Oh my God.
We done.
And I'm here for a French tip.
Yeah, it's not like, I just wanted the cool looking French tip where it's like the white goes kind of down the side, mm-hmm. the short, like I wanted my French tip to be kind of thin. Like, you know, those cute little things.
Yeah.
I gave her the inspo photo.
Right. Let me see. You got to show me offline. She gave me a thick old line, old school. It looks cute.
It's not super thick. It's thick, but some of these arches.
It's not consistent.
Some of these arches, and you know, my husband's like, nobody's gonna be able to tell him. Like, I know, but like, I rarely go.
So you want it done right?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, next time you just gotta go to your trendy place that you like to go to, and get what you want.
Yeah, just get what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate when they're not upfront about it though. Like, she gonna wait till you halfway through the process to say, it's not really my thing.
Exactly, because I showed you the inspo photo before we even started.
Right, and I rarely do this. I want it done right.
Yeah,
that's so annoying.
But I'm happy to add this new self care situation with my nails to my to-do list because. I have noticed, like, when I do my YouTube videos, I be trying to hide my nails.
So yeah, if you're using your hands, you want it to look good. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, I got to get my nails done because this is embarrassing. Let me fix it. So, yeah, that was my little weekend.
Nice. So, do you have a mama moment today? I forgot to ask you.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I can come up with one.
I was going to say, we probably have one we could share.
Okay.
With the swim.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That was a cool accomplishment. So you guys, our kids are taking swim lessons together. Yeah. It's literally her two and my oldest in their class, just them and the instructor. And they've never taken swim lessons before either, right?
Nope.
And you guys, this swim class is no joke. Like, they literally, Nicole was like, because the first day we missed it because we were out of town. And she's like, oh, no, it's no joke. They get started right away.
Right away.
And so yesterday I had to go to my goddaughter's graduation, so I couldn't take Kenneth to swim. So my parents took him. And then Nicole, well, I ended up talking to Nicole. You could tell the part about what Kendon said.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we had swim classes together, and they were such good classes. First of all, they was throwing our kids in the water, jumping off the side, dunking them in the water. Like, it was,
I was like, oh my, she was telling me all this, and I'm like, oh my God, it's only his second class. She's like, no, they jumped in the pool today. No,
they jumped in and went under the water and like made sure they went under the water. But yeah, it was so funny because when Kendon got there, he was out, he was like, yeah. So my mom went to the doctors and we're like, oh, okay. He was just like, yeah, she broke her leg. And we were like, she what? He was like, yeah, she broke her leg. So we're all concerned about Kendra. I'm like, I thought she was at the graduation, but she broke her leg. So we're like, the kids and I were all concerned about Kendra and her leg because we thought she had broke her leg.
Right. And so she texts me like, hey, did you break your leg? And I'm thinking somebody done got her phone. Like, this is like a scam or something. So I'm like, where would she get information that I broke my leg from?
Yeah.
Like, girl, no. So I called her right away. And I was like, did you just ask me if I broke my leg? And she was like, yeah, Kenny said you broke your leg. I'm like, girl, no. I went for a follow-up appointment.
Oh my goodness.
He's just be making up stuff. I'm like, where did you get that from? And he was just, that's like, so well, you went to the doctor, so I just thought maybe you broke your leg. Like, I wasn't sure why you were going to the doctor, but I was like, it must be serious.
So, oh my goodness.
No.
You're like, no, my leg is fine.
Yeah. Kendon says the darndest things though. Like, so here's another quick one. So we actually talked about this twice. So Ken has been asking me like about babies and things like that. He really wants a little sister. I'm like, boy, bye. But he's like, so when you had me, like, I understand I was in your belly, but how did I come out? Oh. And so I'm like, well, you know, you came out the bottom. And he was like, I came out of your butt? And I was like, no, not necessarily my butt, just like the bottom. And he's like, okay. So he goes away like hours later, whatever. He's like, hey, mom. So I know it wasn't your belly, right? But how did I eat? And I'm like, oh, you know, you ate whatever I ate. And he was like, so I ate your throw up? I was like, what? And he was like, well, if you were eating it and then you chewed it up and then it went down into your belly, it's like throw up, right? And I'm like, well, not necessarily. Like, there's something called the placenta. And then, you know, so I'm trying to explain it to him.
Yeah.
Like, your food source comes from there. And, like, I'm trying to, like, break it down to him. But he's just like, mm-mm, I ate your throat.
He's like, uh-uh, that is nasty.
He was like, that's gross.
My kids asked me a similar question about eating in the belly.
Uh-huh.
And they asked, like, how did they use the bathroom and stuff. I was like, oh, no, like, you peed in my belly and then you drank it. And they were like, what?
They're like, this is weird and gross. Like, what is happening?
I'm like, so make sure. You know, Kendon would be so funny on, like, Jimmy Kimmel or, like, Kids Say the Darnest Things.
Yes, he definitely would, because I'd just be looking at him like, what? Because his mind wanders, like, he thinks about things a lot. And so now with my best friend being pregnant, he's like, okay, so there's a baby in your belly. So when's the baby coming out? So she spent the night. And so he was just like, when he woke up he literally woke up when we were still, like, she had just finished my hair. He woke up at 6:30.
Oh my goodness.
And he came downstairs. He's like, mom, he's like, can't even see. He's like, mom, is the baby here yet? And I'm like, huh? And he's like, did God mommy have the baby? Did it come out of her belly yet? And I'm like, no, not yet. And he's just like, oh, okay. I said, you gonna go back to sleep? He said, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Went to sleep like dreaming about the baby, I guess. Like, it was so cute.
He's gonna be so happy to see that baby.
Yes. So yeah, he's super excited. But yeah, I, Kendon, and the things that he comes up with lately, I'm just like, where do you get this stuff from? Like, what? Anywho, we are going to move into our topic for the day. You guys know Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. And we like to highlight the dads because we have amazing husbands who are amazing fathers to our children. Last year, we talked about how millennial dads hit different because they're so, like, I would say, like, different as far as, like, our dads. Like, my dad was, he was kind of hands-on, but, like, not hands-on in the way that my husband is. Like, so we, if you guys want to check that out, you guys can go back and look in the archives for that one. But it was a really good episode. So this year...
And wait, there's another episode that's really good too with the dads. It's called Dads Be Dadding. That's one of our top like 10 episodes.
Yes.
Check out that one too.
That was a really good one. We might have to run that back. Like,
yeah, because that's one of our probably top 10 viewed episodes.
Yes. So this year, we wanted to talk about choosing your baby's father wisely. And I know a lot of times people like to think like, you know, you can't really choose who you have your kids with, but you can.
You can
make certain choices to ensure that, well, maybe not ensure because nothing is 100%,
yeah,
besides abstinence. But you can make certain choices to choose who the father for your child was. And I feel like in our generation and society, like people just don't think about it enough.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's like, oh, if you get pregnant, it's like, oh, whatever. Like, it wasn't in the plans, but it is what it is. I'm gonna deal with it. And I feel like we need to be more careful with the decisions that we make leading up to that.
Yeah.
Because now you have to deal with this person for the rest of your life or not, yeah, or they're just not there for your child and you have to suffer with the effects of him not being there. Yeah. So I think we need to like take it a little bit more serious. I just feel like people don't take that serious at all.
No, you're completely right. Like people do not take it that serious. And I feel like when I was younger, that's all I took serious. Like ain't no way that I want you to be a father of my child.
Like, I'm not even a baby by you. No. Yeah,
that's all I thought about.
Like, I don't even know if I want to be with you.
Like, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't
and no way. It's crazy because people will have those thoughts of, I don't even know if I really want to be with you, but constantly sleeping with somebody unprotected. Like, the future of your child's future is literally in your hands.
Right.
Like you choose to sleep with this person unprotected, knowing that you would never want to have children with them. Like, how does that make sense?
Or some people just really don't think about it in the sense of getting caught up in different moments. But my thing is like, to me, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it because you're the one that has to carry the child. You're the one that has to put your life in danger to go into labor with the child. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. It was just, to me, it just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense.
And now you're connected to this person that you can't stand for the rest of your life. Like, think about that. Think about it.
Yeah. It's all I thought about. And so we're going to talk about the different things that caught our eye or whatnot about our husbands that allowed us to choose, because we both chose pretty young. Like,
yeah,
I met my husband when I was 19 and he was 18. So
I wasn't that young.
I know. One of the things that like brought us together is when I met him and I realized he had all these qualities. I had dated enough people, like, you know, just go on dates, not like actually be in relationships, mm-hmm. to know like, oh no, like, you have a lot of these qualities that I know are hard to come across.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had
that.
Yeah. So I understood in that moment, like, okay, you got a lot of these qualities that are hard to come by. And I can, you know, did I want to like wage the possibilities of not finding another person that I connected with like that just because I was young.
Yeah, that's a real statement, because you know certain people will be like, oh well, I'm too young to get this serious, like let me just continue to date, let me just continue to do whatever. But you run the risk of, like, because you're never 1,100% sure that this is the right person for you. Everything is a gamble. But like Nicole said, when you see those key core qualities, that's something in you just says, like, okay, I need to explore this more, or I need to, like, you know, cultivate this relationship, because that's all what it's about. For me, it was always about core values, morals, desires. Do our desires align?
Yeah.
Because if you have to beg someone, or you have to convince someone to get on board with the type of life that you want to live, it'll never work. Mm-mm. Because oftentimes when you are, you know, trying to convince someone of something, they'll go along with you to shut you up.
Right.
Or they'll go along with you just to try it out or whatever. But if it's not innate in them, it's not their desire, if it's not truly a desire of their heart, it will not be consistent. It will not, like, maintain its value with them, because that's not what they really want.
Right.
They may do it to appease you because they like you, they like spending time with you. But I think we have to be very careful when we're choosing our partner to make sure that our desires align.
Yeah. And also what kind of made me make that decision so young, obviously with our visions aligning, but when I was really young, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but when I was really young, I used to just have constant conversations with God every night. And I would just always being just really, really young and just kind of begging God for, like, not begging, but like really in hard conversations with God about what I wanted my life to look like. And one night he spoke to me about my life, and I kind of always didn't hold on to it. But when I met my husband, I was reminded of the conversation God had when I was really little.
Wow.
And so I was like, wait, that conversation of what we had and how my life was supposed to play out, or what I was supposed to do. And so I was like, oh, wow, I think this is, like, maybe what God was talking about. So I just had to trust, and, like, sometimes you just have to trust, like, the timing of your life.
And trust God. Like, what you said, it was my same experience.
Yeah.
Like, when I met my husband, it was just, like, it was crazy. Like, our first date, we had, like, a 4-hour conversation.
Yep.
And when I say alignment,
yeah,
I was like, this is crazy. Like, we didn't want the day to end because it was just so in tune with, like, the things that I asked for God for in a mate, and things that I always desired from a little girl. Like, I know you could tech talk to anybody I ever dated. I was never settling. It was certain things that I was not bending on because God promised me these things.
Yeah.
Like, when I had my conversations with God about how my life was going to be, he was just like, whoever you're connected to is going to be blessed because they're connected to you.
Yeah.
And y'all relationship, you will know it is what it is because you will see the fruit of that in your relationship.
Yeah.
And we are living that. My husband and I are living that. And it was prophesied over us over and over again. But this was something that God told me when I was little. And that's why I kept my promise to God. And I stayed on the path as much as I could. Like, I made mistakes. Yeah. I dated people I probably shouldn't have dated. I did things I probably shouldn't have done. But for the most part, I stayed the course because in the back of my mind, I was like, God promised me this. And I know you could talk to my friends, like, you could never tell me different that God wasn't going to bless me the way he did.
Yeah.
Cause I believed it at a young age. And so I think when you have that experience and you, like, hold on to it, it's worth it.
Yeah, it really is. It really is worth it. It really is.
Yeah, it's so worth it. I remember, like, so my husband and I, we dated and then we like broke up for a period, and I dated, I think, two other people when we were broken up. And one of the guys that I dated, we were just talking about like life and how we wanted our life to look and like things that, you know, that I wanted. And I was just like, well, when I have my kids, I think I want to stay home for 2 years because those are like pivotal years that I don't want to miss with my kids. And he was just like, in this economy? He was like, you need a two-income household. Like, you have to have that. There's no way we will be able to survive. And I talked about traveling, and I talked about taking family vacations and vacations with, like, you know, just with the two of us and like all that stuff. And he just was so small-minded. He didn't even believe in himself enough that he would be able to make the money to provide that for his family. A family vacation.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, his mindset is not in alignment.
It's not. You're because, like,
yeah, I'm like, I was at the time working two jobs.
Yeah.
Like, I could work 3-4 jobs to get what I want to do. Like, I'm not saying you got to do this like all by yourself, but I believe that it's possible. I believe that God would bless us enough to, but I'm like, oh no. What's that mean when a guy be like, think big, B? Like, it was like, oh, bro, you don't think big enough for me.
You're like, this is not going to work. This is not going to work.
When I say I cut it off, I cut it off because I'm like, your mindset is not in alignment. And if your mindset is not in alignment, what am I doing?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's so funny about, like, the different scenarios of dating people before you meet your husband, because there's such a difference between dating those people and dating your spouse. Mm-hmm. But I just remember before I met my husband, I met somebody who was everything that I wanted as a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, everything I thought I needed or everything I thought I wanted, like, mm-hmm. he was a really great guy. And I'm not going to say too much because Kendra knows him.
Right, because I already know who he's talking about.
Yeah, he was just a really great guy. Mm-hmm. And he fit like every checklist of what I thought I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so crazy because it was crazy to meet somebody who you thought checked everything and still like, no, this is not aligned,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, even you can meet somebody who is small-minded or someone you think would be so perfect for you, mm-hmm. and try and make it work, but something is just not there, you know? Right.
Yep. And I really think it's that, like we were, like my husband and I were praying for the same thing. Like when we came back together, we were praying for the same thing at the same time. Like that's how crazy, that's how good God is, I should say.
Yeah.
Like, when it's divine, it's divine. Like, bruh, I don't even have enough time to just really get into it. But God is God, okay?
Yeah.
And you put him at the forefront and you put your life in his hands.
Yeah.
He will take care of you. You do what you're supposed to do. You connect with him. You build that relationship with him. He will take care of you. Nobody's life is perfect. People right. make mistakes. Things happen. I don't know what the future holds, but what I do know is that when you build that relationship with God, he's going to speak to you,
yeah.
and you will know when it's him. And I feel like when you're doing something as serious as building a family, like having a child, like I want to connect with the source because I want to make sure that I'm going to on the right path with this, because we have all seen scenarios and situations with people who are the father of their children, the mother of their children sometimes, like for the dads, like it goes both ways.
Right.
When you have a kid and it completely turns the relationship upside down.
Yeah, completely.
And so one of the things that is really, I believe is really important in choosing a partner to have a family with is to make sure that that person desires to have a family, to be a parent.
Yes.
Whether, I don't know if some men listen to this or not, but like if you are, when you're choosing a mate and a wife and you know you want to have children, you need to be sure that she has a desire to be a mother. Not, oh, I guess I could have kids if it happens, but do you desire to be a parent?
That part.
Because somebody who wants to be a parent and wants to have a family is very different than somebody who just says, oh, if I get pregnant, I get pregnant. Like, I'm a mother of the child. I'm going to make sure they get fed. I'm going to make sure they get clothed. I'm going to make sure they get to school on time. But that's it.
That's it. And that's just not.
I'm going to do the bare minimum. We're not going to be in a partnership in this. Like, there's so many things that can happen. But I think especially with the father.
Yeah.
Because with women, for the most part, we have that maternal instinct that just kicks in. Whether you wanted to be your mom or not, like, it just kicks in right. For the most part.
But it is a lot different when a father wants to be a father. And that was something that had caught my eye with my husband, because that was his, like, number one goal. When I met him, that was, like, his number one goal in life was to be a father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, you know, your goal is not, like, to... build a business,
right?
Make a lot of money, like,
right?
Travel the world,
right?
It was just like, no, like, my biggest dream in life is to have a family and to be a father.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the first things that, like, caught me off guard when I met mm-hmm. my husband, because I was like, your biggest goal in life is to have a family and be a father. Like, wow. I couldn't comprehend. So I think that's what also kind of like. Let me just dig deeper into this, even though I'm 19 years old. Like, let me just take a moment and, you know, figure this all out.
Right.
But to what you're saying about with God, something that I don't know if I've ever talked about it on this podcast, but before I met my husband, I spent like a couple of weeks just praying to God about, you know, what qualities my husband should have.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I felt it like, okay, we're just going to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
So everything I put on that list was to the T of what my husband is, from his height to his education to where he grew up, every detail I wrote on that paper. And the funny thing is when I wrote that list with God, I just gave it to God. And then I had the summer of my life.
Left it alone. And you needed that summer.
I needed that summer. Okay. I had the time of my life that summer. But something that I don't know if I've really talked about it on this podcast, but even though we met young, something mm-hmm. I saw in my husband that I think is a good thing to see in a person, especially for a father, mm-hmm. is someone who's willing to grow.
Yeah.
You know, all through life, you're going to have through ups and downs, but you have to be willing to say, you know, okay, let's readjust this. Or, okay, maybe I can do better in this area. Or, okay, I'm doing really great in this area, but this area is suffering. How can I make this all better? And so even though we were so young, he was willing to have those hard conversations that I wasn't even ready to have. Just about how to improve our relationship. And so his activeness in wanting to improve our relationship, to mm-hmm. me, is the sign that, okay.
Yeah, you can work with that.
Yeah.
Like, if you know that there's room to grow, because the worst thing ever is somebody think they know it all and, like, got it all. Because you'll never grow. You'll never learn. We don't know it all. We're never going to know it all. We're going to be learning to the day we die.
Yeah.
And if you have that know-it-all mentality, can't nobody tell you nothing. So that means you can't communicate.
Right.
And when you are parenting, you have to be able to communicate with one another, because your foundation as a couple needs to be strong while you're parenting these kids, because they're going to test every patient and nerve that you have.
Everyone.
And you need to be able to rely on one another and come to one another and be on one accord so that you can properly parent these children. Whether you are together, you end up together or not, like, you're the person you choose to have kids with, they need to be emotionally intelligent. They need to be have a desire to have connectivity and to listen.
Yes.
Because whether, like I said, whether you end up together or not, you still have to parent those kids. Okay. So I have seen people who co-parent very well because they're great communicators. Even just because their relationship didn't work out doesn't mean that they can't still communicate with each other.
Right.
But if you have a desire to be right all the time, if it's your way or the highway, if it ain't my idea, it's a bad idea. Like, those type of people do not make the best partner to parent with, because we have to pivot a lot in parenting.
Yeah.
Like, we get thrown curveballs all the time.
Every day.
And if I can't have a powwow with you to create a game plan, and you just know everything, and I, my opinion doesn't matter, it's just a recipe for disaster.
It's a recipe for a disaster, but it's also like having that person that can communicate with you. Mm-hmm. So like, even if you do a powwow, even if you have the structure, for them to be able to call you and say, okay, look, it, I'm running late, or this is what's happening, or, you know, can I pick up something to eat for the family, or, you know, how can we rebalance this out? If you don't
communicate, how can I help? How can I help? Like,
yeah,
like wanting, it goes back to like wanting to be a parent, wanting to have a family, like wanting to be involved. That's another thing I was going to say, like discussing gender roles and like how that is, affects your parenting is very important. Yeah. If you are with somebody who is just like, I pay the bills. That's my job. You got the kids.
Yeah.
But in your heart of hearts, it's like, I want a partner in this, in parenting. I don't want to just be the sole parent for my kids. Like, I want my spouse or my partner to parent my children as well. That's something you should talk about, because in certain households, that's how it was. So if the partner you choose grew up in a household to where the dad went out and made the money, and then when he came home, his dinner was on the table, he ate his dinner, and he didn't see his family for the rest of the evening until the weekend, when maybe we will go to the park or something. If that's how he grew up, and that's the vision of what a father looks like, that's important to know.
That is really important to know. You know, and that's something I will say, that's one area that was not aware of. I think that's one area where I thought, like, everybody's families were all kumbaya together. Yeah, and
right.
The thing is, even if somebody doesn't come from the background, even if somebody comes from the background of, okay, their dad just made money and they came home to a meal, even if they've had that experience, if they can come to the table and say, look, this is my experience, but I was a child in that situation, and I didn't like how that played out.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, do better. And let's figure out, you know, how I can do better in that situation. And even from that experience, that person still has to learn how to adapt and how to, you know, be a part of the situation. So even as a spouse, you have to encourage that person to be like, okay, look at, we're all going to the park. You're coming to the park.
Or
we're all going to this.
And yes. Okay,
you take the kids to see a movie. Or like, there's that growth in it. But if they have that actual want to grow, it That's makes the all the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
A huge
difference. Willingness. Because a lot of times, you know, we don't know, we're learning together, like but the willingness to grow, like Nicole was saying, the willingness to learn, I could work with that.
Yeah.
Because we are going through this together. Like I remember when my husband and I had our first child, like literally going through everything together, but I was so grateful that I had a partner who wanted to go through this with me. Like, I say he was 10 toes down, like, what we doing? Like, do we need to do this? Do we need to call this person? Like, he's Googling just like I'm Googling. He's not sitting over there laid on the couch like, that's your problem.
Yeah.
But in a lot of relationships, if you don't discuss these things beforehand, or maybe your partner was not taught that he needs to be involved in these things, or maybe you don't even know if you're going to want him to be involved in these things, like, having those conversations helps you to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, for us, we knew that we wanted to both be hands-on. He wanted to be a part of every phase of parenthood. Like, he was assisting me. Like, and when I was pumping, he would go wash the bottles or help me, like, take the baby while I'm pumping or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had the desire, my husband had the desire to just be involved. Yeah. And he wanted to learn. He wanted to know just as much as I did. And I was so grateful, because you know what that meant for me? I could go to brunch with my friends and know that my child was well taken care of, because we learned how to be parents together.
That's awesome. Like,
he was there with me every step of the way. And of course, there's some things that I, you know, wanted him to do differently. But for the most part, I knew I could trust, I could leave and go on a whole girls trip.
Yeah.
And know that my baby was taken care of without having to have a nanny there or my mom or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was big, because back in the day, that would never happen. Like, men were not that involved to know what to do. But I would say in a lot of my friendships, the fathers are in my like circle.
Yeah.
The fathers are amazing. All of them can handle their children by themselves, multiple children.
Yeah.
By themselves, like for multiple days at a time. Yeah. And they might go a little crazy, but they know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's like,
they have the capability to do it.
And in some circles, that is unheard of. So shout out to all the daddies and the friend group, because when I say they do like little dad dates with the kids, mm-hmm. like when we go out of town, they round up all the kids and take them somewhere and like get them all together. And it's just yep. like,
out
they get, yeah, they like, it's easier to watch them that way.
We all watch them.
But they get so much attention when they go out, because it's not really the norm.
Right.
To see like a group of dads with their kids, handling them well, making sure everybody has snacks, making sure everybody's clean and like having a good time and safe.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's a huge part of when you're choosing your partner. Like, you gotta think about those things. Like, what type of dad do I want? Now, if you're the type of woman that's like, child, I want to do everything. I don't need him to be helping me. I don't need him in my business with the kids. I want him to go with it. That's your business.
That's your business. Okay. But I need a break.
Okay, right now I'm holding it down because my husband is away on a work trip, and yeah. by the time y'all see this, he'll be back. But like, it's a lot, because we really do help each other. Like, even though I'm a stay-at-home mom, my husband is very hands-on. Like, when we get the kids ready for school in the morning, he get one ready, I get the other one ready. Like, he does drop off, I do pick up. You know, like getting the lunches together, like, you know, like when I'm filming the podcast, he gives them dinner, he gives them a bath. Tonight, we had to film the podcast. I had to go make dinner. I had to make sure everybody ate. I had to make sure they were bathed before I jumped on the podcast. So I felt that today.
Yeah. Because
normally I have time to make dinner, go get myself ready, prepare my notes, and then hop on the podcast as my leisure. Today I was running in here like, hey girl, I'm here.
We made it.
You know what I'm saying? And so like, I really appreciate my husband, because he steps in. When I was sick, he took care of everything.
Yeah.
And like, those are the times when you really appreciate the type of partner that you have, because it's like, I physically am unable to do the normal tasks that I would have to do. But there are a lot of women who do not even get to be sick.
Right.
Because their husband either won't do it or they don't know how to do it. And so, like, in choosing a co-parent or a partner, that's important. That's so important.
It's really important. Like, my experience is a little bit different than Kendra's, because we met so young that we had to grow all those things together and balance that all out.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's interesting, like, I guess when we had our first child, because your first child can really test a relationship, right?
Mm, it does.
My husband and I both were just kind of like in shock. And so I'll never forget, he just started to cook. Like, that's how he started cooking. So most of the time, I maybe cook once a month.
I'm about to say, you cook more now than you used to.
I cook more now than I used to, yeah. So once a month is like, oh, okay, Nicole's doing good. But as soon as we had my first child, my husband, both of us were kind of in shock. But mm-hmm. he was just like, all right, I'm just going to make sure you eat. I'm going to change the diapers.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure this out. And
yeah.
I think that's how, like, we've been able to maintain our relationship, because we're always like, I was talking to him the other day. I was like, you know, it's really interesting how through all the ups and downs of growing and us having to become kids to adults,
mm-hmm.
that we still continue to choose one another. And we were saying, you know, there's a lot of people that got married or got together our age that are no mm-hmm. longer together.
Right.
And we just talked about like some of the different situations or different positions we've been put in that we could have, you know, really ruined our relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And in those moments, we still decided to like, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose my wife, like, or I'm going to choose my husband, no matter what's going on or, you know, what we're working through. Because becoming a child to an adult is such a...
Within a relationship,
within building a family, within going to college together, within trying to figure out careers, within, you know, working that all out is a lot. Like we didn't get to come to our relationship in the fullness of ourselves. We developed, and something that we've kind of just come to realize is like, you know what, how beautiful is it that God decided to say, you know what, you're not going to have to go through the heaviness of becoming an adult, becoming a child to an adult by yourself. You have this partner in life that, you know, I want you to go through this with and hold each other's hand and grow old and whatnot. So I thought to myself, like, that's such a different way to look at it. Because there's a lot of times where I always felt like, you know, we got met so young and blah, 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 blah. But the amount that we have grown is just like, and the amount my husband has grown and I have grown, it's mm-hmm. just like, wow. Incredible. It was the willingness, you know?
Yes, the willingness. Showing up. Being present, being in the game. Like, you know, not just giving up when things get tough. Like, that's so vital for parenting and when you're in a relationship. But cultivating that relationship is the most important thing, because now you got a teammate. And it's like, okay, whatever we go through, we're going through this together. And like, you know, our kids go through ebbs and flows, like with their personality and their attitudes and things like that. But having that partner to sit down and talk to and be like, bro, am I tripping or was he tripping? Like, and then trying to figure out, okay, well, how can we communicate this better to him? Or like, how can we like, or communicating with each other, like, this is what I'm working on with him.
Right.
So that your partner knows how to work on that, so we can be on one accord.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just little things like that, where if your partner is just like, child, I don't care about that, like, or you got it.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times, a lot of parents will feel alone in their relationship and in parenting, because if the other person is like, well, no, you got it, like, I'm good. Like, you know, sometimes it is like that with certain situations, like isolated things, it might be like, that's your thing. Like, that is not my thing. And that is completely fine. Yeah. But as a parent, you never want to feel like you're going through it absolutely alone when you have a partner.
And something I also want to say, because I know I've talked a lot about like the willingness to grow. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people can say they're willing to grow, but it's really the actions behind it that show you if they really are. So say there's an area I'm working on or an area that he's working on. It's taking that moment to acknowledge, oh, okay, you said you were going to work on this. And now mm-hmm. I can actually see
mm-hmm. the evidence of that.
The evidence of you really actually trying. Because trying takes so much energy, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's a must. It's a must. So
yeah. I think we kind of just talked about that, but like compatibility and like just your relationship, you know what I'm realizing, like just talking about this, like like, if you are parenting together, like with another person, your relationship with that person is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily about the kids, like just your relationship with your partner, because if y'all are at odds, you're not going to be on the same page about the kids.
Exactly.
If y'all are at odds, you're not going to want to talk about it. So like, you see scenarios where it's like, you know, you have to co-parent, but y'all don't talk to each other. Like, I was watching, if y'all watch Love and Marriage Huntsville, there's a couple on there where they got divorced, but they have four children together. And the husband, like, he cheated on the wife, had another baby. Like, it was terrible. So she's so hurt that she cannot even communicate with him about the kids. So the schedule for the kids is kind of like, I think they do 1 week on, 1 week off. And so it sucks for the kids because they have to go a whole week without seeing another parent. But yeah, that's because the parents cannot communicate with each other because the ex-wife, she's in disgust with him.
Oh.
And so, like, I just say that to say, like, the relationship between the couple makes the world a difference in how you are able to parent your children. Yeah. You know, but things happen, and especially when you're going through divorce and things like that, that may get ugly or whatever. But, like, just in a relationship, making sure your relationship is solid with your partner before you have kids is just vital.
Yeah.
Because once the kids come into the mix, a lot of times everything becomes about the children.
Yeah, everything.
So you don't even have time to worry about your issues with your partner.
Yeah.
So if you got all these unresolved issues with your partner and then you have a baby, then it just, like, amplifies everything.
Everything. Because you don't know, it amplifies everything, and then you don't even know what you're going to be going through after. You don't know, you know, your baby blues, postpartum depression, like, it can make things go so left. So that's why it's like, I was always taught, like, when you date to marry. So, you know, it's okay to go on dates and have fun, but don't only make people serious that you could really see as a father, or, you know.
Right. And having a child is the most serious thing. Honestly, I kind of feel like having a child is, like, more serious than getting married. Like,
yeah,
because if you get married to somebody and you just, you know, y'all decide it doesn't work out, whatever, you can cut ties with them and it's over.
Right.
But if you have a kid with somebody and then y'all break up, y'all still got to parent this kid together.
Got to go through all that with the child.
Yeah. So, like, considering compatibility, considering your trust level with this person, considering their communication skills, their level of commitment. If this man is not even willing to commit with you, why would you have a child? Why?
I think,
like, why would you lay that? I don't know.
Sometimes people be in the hopes. Some people try to lock people up. Oh, like, okay, listen, we already had an hour, but you know the Tim Anderson situation.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. It's a real. Did you see his interview?
Yes, it's a mess.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
And here she come. She was like, there was no signs of him being married. You can Google.
He's like
it.
On the cover of, like, baseball magazines.
Right. Like, what do you mean? Like, come on, let's be real.
You didn't Google. You didn't.
Whatever. People are so delusional. Like, I know that word get thrown around, but delusional. Like, also, family dynamics are important. Like, if you really want to plan this thing, like, plan this thing, you know?
Yeah.
I understand, like, you sometimes people want to live in the moment and, like, you know, Kendon, I'm still.
Mom, I need to
check something. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about my life.
No one's kids do. Nobody's kids care.
Right. But yeah, family dynamics, commitment, unresolved issues within your personal relationship. I say family dynamics too, because we kind of touched on it earlier too. you know, how they saw parenting happen has a role to play in how you become a parent. Mm-hmm. And like Nicole was saying, like, it could go one way or the other. Like, they can choose to be the complete opposite of their parents because they didn't have a good experience, or they can take on those same core values of that because that's what they saw in their household, whether exactly. it was a positive thing or not, or whether it, because sometimes like you see things happening, you're like, well, it worked, you know, like it may not have been the best scenario, but it worked. Like, yeah. and I get that too, where it's like, excuse me, it was a happy household. We always had what we needed. We ate dinner together every night. We had family movie night or whatever, but you don't know what happened behind closed doors. You
right. know what I'm saying? That's so true.
And so I feel like we have to take from our experiences, but also create our own experiences. And in my husband's scenario, he didn't have a positive view of what a father looked like, but he decided that he was going to be the best father because he didn't have that.
Right.
So he surrounded himself he had mentors, and he surrounded himself with people who were good fathers. And he decided to, you know, build his relationship with God and seek God on that, you know. And then he has a great relationship with my dad. And so he's, you know, I think he kind of just positioned himself to set himself up to be a good father. Nice. And when I say like desire, like that's what I mean. Like, you know, like where it's like you had no example. He had one example, like, you know, he had a couple like family members, whatever, but like in his direct household, no.
Right.
But he was just like, I'm gonna be a father and I'm gonna be a great one.
Like, this is just what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, and he's a very determined person. That's one of the things that I love about him, is that when he puts his mind to something, he executes. Mm-hmm. And he takes it very seriously. And so I just think it's important to look at those type of characteristics when choosing a partner and a parent for your child. Like, it's, I think we just got, like I said before, we just got to take it more serious.
Yeah, just need to take it way more serious.
Way more serious. Like, it is like, you know, like you can deal with people, but why would you want to if you don't have to? Like, I don't know. And I think differently because, like Nicole said, I was also raised to date for marriage. And like, there's guys that I dated like in college where I was just like, I knew, I'm a very self-aware person. I knew I was having fun. I knew I was not going to marry this person. I was not going to have children with this person. I wasn't even going to put myself in a position to possibly have children with this person. Exactly. Like, they are literally in this category. We are having a great time, grand old time. And when I graduate college, all that is behind me. Now I'm looking towards getting somebody for long term. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like it saved me a lot of grief. It saved me a lot of heartache. Like I said, I'm not perfect. I made decisions that I probably shouldn't have made. But for the most part, one thing's for certain and one thing's for show, I knew the type of mate that I wanted long term. And if they didn't meet a certain criteria,
gotta go.
I wasn't wasting my time. And I don't suggest you do that either.
No. No. Because sometimes I feel like people just think that person is not out there. So then they just let a lot of people waste their time.
Yeah. And they are out there. You just have to be a little bit more strategic in how you go about things. Yeah. You have to think about the type of person you want to meet.
Yeah.
And where would they hang out?
And where would they be at?
Yeah, like, where would they hang out? Where would they be on this day, at this time? Like, the man you envision for yourself, where would he be?
That's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And put yourself in those environments.
Yeah.
Because if you are wanting to meet a certain caliber of a man, but the places that you frequent, that type of man would not even step foot in. I'm just saying.
Oh, it just is what it is.
I have a lot of great advice. I'm just saying.
I just I always just feel bad for the people that didn't have the they didn't have the guidance.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
They end up in the situations where they get pregnant by somebody that's just a horrible father.
Yeah.
I those are the situations I feel really bad for.
Yeah. Because
it's like maybe it's just like they could have grown up in a household with a mom or dad, but mm-hmm. still didn't get the proper guidance.
Right. And,
something I've been, I know this is like a long episode. Something I've been considering lately is, I don't know about you, but even for friends that I have that grew up in a beautiful two-parent household where the parents went above and beyond and just did all the little things.
Mm-hmm.
The kids still had little nitpicky things that, you know, not traumatized, but like mm-hmm. just things that, you know, that they struggled with that they feel like maybe their parent could have done better in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah, that's for sure. Because outside looking in, we may think like, our perception is that things were great, you right. know, whatever, but a child that lives in a household and that sees everything, they could have like a different perspective. Or even how they take things with personality.
Yeah. Even how they take things. So something I've actually been thinking about is when my kids turn 10, mm-hmm. just allowing them to like meet with therapists. And I think at 10, you can be in the room. Like yeah. you're in the room. I think you have to be in the room until 18 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So even I've been thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I think about the times that like when I was a young girl to, even though my mom, she did great with guidance. She did. I feel like my parents did an amazing job, mm-hmm. but there were little things that, you know, it would have been nice to sit down and talk to a therapist or whatever.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's like being super proactive.
Yeah, because the thing is, too, is like, even if everything falls together, even as an adult, there's going to be things that trigger you or things that happen or things that upset you. And so it was like, you know, if I could teach you at a young age to seek professional help and not try to, and, you know, also God, but like,
yeah,
to seek professional help, to speak with the therapist, to be comfortable with that, so that as you're an adult and things happen in life, you feel comfortable to
express it.
Yeah.
That's so, really good. That's so good.
So I'm just kind of thinking like once they turn maybe like 10,
mm-hmm.
just like even if it's quarterly or just how frequently I think is good.
Or like, like family therapy or something, to where just putting your kids in an environment to where they feel freely to express themselves and that they can like uncover if there's anything there.
Yeah.
I think that's dope. Like even like just having people in their life too that they can go to outside of you is cool, is like important.
Right. Right.
My best friend and I talked about like how we have hopes that like her son, if he's going through something and he doesn't want to necessarily talk to his parents, like he'll feel comfortable enough to come to me. Like same thing with my kids. Like if they don't feel comfortable enough to come to me, I will hope that they will come to you or they will come to Amber or they will come to like anybody in their village.
Right.
And I think it's important for us as parents to make sure we set them up with that village, with people that they feel comfortable enough with to share, and then adding that extra layer with the therapy and just letting them feel comfortable with expressing themselves and not feeling like they have to be ashamed of like how they feel or if they're having struggles in a certain area or if something happened that we aren't aware of, because they go to school for the majority of the day.
Yeah. And these all little things, you know,
it's all kind of stuff. And by the time they get that old, who knows what's going to be going on in the world. And so I think that's a really, really, really good tip.
Yeah. So that's been something I'm like, okay, I think I might do that when they turn 10.
Yeah. I think that's really good. But all in all, you guys, choose your baby father wisely.
Wisely. Wisely. Woo!
Like, take it serious. Just take it a little bit more serious.
There
is, if you need evidence of why you should take it seriously, just go on Instagram, go to the shade room and just scroll. And there's so many stories and evidence as to why you should take it very seriously.
Very seriously. It's just take it seriously.
Don't be out here willy-nilly.
No.
Laying it low and spreading it wide with just anybody. Just please. Please. If you don't hear nothing else, hear that, okay? And I know a lot of our listeners are already mothers. They could be married or whatever. If you guys have somebody that you feel like could benefit from this conversation and these tips, please be sure to share it with them. Because, you know, we just want to help a sister out. You know? Really? Like, we just want people to be happy, be in happy, healthy relationships and build happy, healthy families. And it's never too late to have these conversations with your partner. Like, I was talking to my mom the other day, and I was just like, as long as, 'cause my parents are marriage counselors, and I was just telling them, my mom, that they should do like a, not like a master class, but they should do like a series to like help couples, like with foundational things, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, one of the key elements to me is that if your partner is willing to have a conversation and to be a listener, you can do almost anything.
Yeah.
It's like Nicole was saying earlier, as long as they're willing to grow, if they don't feel like they have reached their peak and they feel like there's more to learn and more to grow, and they're willing to come to the table and have conversations with you, and not be just defensive and combative, but actually have active listening and want to come to a resolution, you can conquer the world, child, yeah, as long as you're willing to have a conversation. So I think that's a very key element, like when you're looking for a partner, is like, are they willing to talk, or yeah, do they shut down, or do they isolate? You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share with a friend. You guys can leave us a comment on YouTube, on Instagram, wherever you guys are watching. Make sure you guys are subscribed and following us. And we thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.